Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We're continuing this series on Israel and Bible prophecy. Israel and Bible prophecy. And it's very important that we realize that the Bible is filled with prophecy. It is literally filled with thousands of very exact prophecies that say what is going to come in the future. I don't believe in all this false prophecy out there. I don't believe in fortune tellers. I don't believe in all of this mystical stuff that goes on. If you start to mess with that, you are dealing with demons. It's demons that work through divination, through fortune telling, through all manners of mystical arts. And it's not the devil predicting the future. It is actually the devil prophesying into your life, trying to bring things to pass in your life. And I tell you, it's real. There's power there, but you're dealing with demons that want to bring things to your past, bring things to pass in your life. But God's prophecies are holy. They are pure. They are life-changing. They're always centered on Christ. And they're always to bring you to confidence that the Bible is the Word of God. If one prophecy doesn't come to pass in this Bible, then the entire thing is a lie, and I'll throw it in the bin. Do you hear me? There are thousands of prophecies. Most of them have already come to pass about kings, nations, individuals, world events, everything that's going to happen. Most of them have been fulfilled exactly. Names, details, nations for thousands of years. Why should I doubt the rest of the prophecies that are given to us in this book? And that's what we want to deal with here tonight, is one of the most remarkable prophecies that was given about 2,600 years ago, and yet was only fulfilled in our lifetime, or should I say Brother Jair's lifetime, because it extends a bit earlier than me. But it's still being fulfilled, and it's still to be fully fulfilled, I believe, in the years just ahead of us. But it's a remarkable prophecy, and one of the most outstanding prophecies in the Bible. What is that prophecy? That Israel, after 1900 years, the Jews, Israel, after 1900 years being scattered in all the nations of the world, would suddenly be restored to their original homeland, and their nation would be birthed in one day. That's a prophecy I want to give to you here tonight to encourage your heart, so that you might know the God of the Bible, the one who sent Jesus to die on the cross, the one who said you must be born again, the one who said there is a heaven and there is a hell, the one who said turn from your sins, the one who gave us this Bible. The reason he gave us this prophecy is to persuade us and encourage us that everything the Bible says is true. Reading from Ezekiel chapter 36, and my message is Israel gathered. Israel gathered. Ezekiel 36, verse 1. Also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. Notice that he is prophesying. God is speaking to Ezekiel. And he's saying, I want you to prophesy to the mountains of Israel. Very strange, isn't it, for a prophet to be told, I want you to prophesy to mountains, not people, not individuals, not a king, but I want you to prophesy to literal, physical mountains. And he says, say unto the mountains of Israel, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you. Notice what the enemy is saying against these mountains. Aha! Even the ancient high places are ours in possession. So look at this. The enemies of Israel are saying, these mountains are our mountains. We own them. We have them. We're not going to lose them. They're always going to belong to us. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate. He's talking to the mountains. These enemies have made you desolate. They have destroyed you, mountains, and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. In other words, non-Jews, people in the surrounding nations, they have come and filled up those mountains. And ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. In other words, everybody speaks against you negatively. Talking about mountains, a certain land, a certain place on the earth. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Look at the condition. Look what God is speaking to. He's speaking to the mountains of Israel when they're destroyed, when Israel has forsaken them, when their cities are deserted, when the mountains are in utter barrenness. God begins to prophesy to them. And he says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do before it happens. Verse 5, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all of Adullam. Now who is this Adullam? Do you know who they are? The descendants of Edom, or Esau, the brother of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. Do you know who Esau was? Do you realize that Jacob and Esau were in the womb of the same mother? Mm-hmm. And the Lord actually prophesied to that mother and said, you have two nations within your womb, two children, but both of those children are going to become great nations. And those two great nations, those two men are going to fight each other. One was Jacob and the other was Esau. And he said to the mother, the older is going to serve the younger. Usually you'd think the older is going to rule over the younger. But the Lord changes it and said, you know what? Esau, the older one, is going to serve his younger brother, Jacob. And the Lord says, you've got two nations and they're always going to fight one another. Esau is always going to fight against Jacob, or what's another name for Jacob? Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Okay? I'm showing you what's happening here in chapter 36. In the chapter before, chapter 35, it's a prophecy to Edom, the descendants of Esau. And he actually begins to prophesy to Mount Seir. Now notice with me in your mind's eye, the river Jordan running through Israel. At one side of that river are the mountains of Israel. At the other side are the mountains of Edom. They're two different nations, two different peoples, two different sets of mountains, and the Jordan River separates them. And this chapter is all about these two sets of mountains. Now I'm going somewhere. Don't lose this. Don't be confused. It's okay if it goes over your head. I'm going to show you what all of this means. And here God begins. Now this prophecy is given for the last days. It was actually for the last century, for our generation. These prophecies are given. The prophecy in chapter 35 for Esau's children, our descendants, who fill the land of Israel. They should have stayed on their own mountains, but they come over and they take over the mountains of Israel. And they possess them. And they say, Israel will never get them back again. Do you know what I'm telling you is what is at the center of world politics today, and it's going to lead to the next world war. It's going to lead to Armageddon and the greatest loss of life our world has ever seen. These two sets of mountains, what we're reading in these chapter, these two children that were born to fight one another. And Esau, you know what God prophesied over him? Your hand is against every man. You're a fighter. You keep wanting to fight. You ever seen the Muslims, the Arabs? You ever seen how they're contentious? They want to fight the entire world. But look in this chapter. God begins to prophesy first in chapter 35 against Esau's seed. And he said, you thought you'd have the mountains of Israel. You come in and took them over. You said that you'd always have them. But I prophesy unto you, I will destroy you. I will remove you. I will make you desolate. I'm going to remove you from off those mountains. And you know what? If God ever speaks against you, you're in serious trouble. Can I tell you that? And if God ever blesses you, you will be blessed. Because what God says shall surely come to pass. If he says if you continue in your sin, you'll die and go to hell. He's not playing games with you. If he says unless you're born again, you will perish. This God of love, he actually says that. If you think he's joking or you don't take it serious, you'll get in trouble. But if you actually believe his word and say, he said, I must believe in him. I must turn from sin. Lord, bless me. I want your blessing on my life. If you really hear him say that, then when God blesses you, you will be very blessed. I can assure you, and you'll affect other lives. But notice here, in chapter 36, let's just continue a bit. Verse 6, prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand, surely the heathen that are round about you, they shall bear their shame. Notice he's prophesying to these mountains when they're barren. There's no trees, there's no buildings. It's a wilderness, it's a dead nation. Everything is dead in the nation, but God is prophesying. Verse 8, but ye, thank God for the buts. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come back. Notice this prophecy is given to the land of Israel before the Jews return to it, before Israel come back to it, at a time when it's desolate and it's barren and it's empty. That's when the prophecy is given. And God begins to prophesy and say, land, begin to blossom. Trees begin to grow. You know why? I'm going to bring Israel back into the land one more time. Verse 9, for behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. Your fields are going to be ploughed again. They haven't for generations. And I will multiply men upon you. Multiplication isn't addition. This isn't just a slow increase. He says, I am going to multiply. There's going to be an explosion of people on the mountain of Israel where there were no people. There's going to be multitudes. I mean cities of hundreds of thousands where there was nobody before. God is prophesying to these mountains very particularly. And he says, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited. In other words, there's going to be empty cities. They are going to be cities, they're there, but they're empty. And they're going to be inhabited. And the wastes shall be builded again. Places that used to have buildings that don't anymore are going to be rebuilt. And I will multiply upon you men and beasts, and they shall increase and shall bring forth, and I will settle you after your old estates. Where you once lived, you're going to live again. And will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Why is he going to restore Israel to their nation? You know why? So you know the God of the Bible is real. He's going to do a modern miracle in our generation that we can all see. We can all check the facts. We can all look at the details. We can go and read the newspapers and the history books, and you will see a modern miracle. Why is God doing this to the mountains of Israel? Do you know how big this area of the mountains of Israel is? Israel, the entire nation of Israel, is a third of the size of Ireland. But the area of the mountains of Israel is even smaller. Okay? This little area, the mountains of Israel, is smaller than Munster. And God is prophesying to these mountains. Why is he prophesying to these mountains? Do you know why? Listen to the towns and the cities. There's Hebron. There's Bethel. There's Ai. There's Bethlehem, the city of David, or the home of David. There's Shechem. There's Bethany. There's Jerusalem. All of these is in the area of the mountains of Israel. Do you know what all the fighting at the minute is over between the Palestinians and the Israelis for the land of Israel? Do you know where the battle rages? Around the mountains of Israel, not around the whole land, but specifically for this area called the mountains of Israel. Or do you know what it's often called today in the news? The West Bank. And the Palestinians say, the West Bank is our land. It's the Palestinian homeland. And this is going to lead us to the Third World War and the greatest war in world history. The Bible predicts it. More blood is going to be shed. And we're going to look at this and see what the prophecies say. But this little area, the mountains of Israel, are the West Bank. And this is where all the conflict, the UN are involved in this, aren't they? And America and Russia and China and all the Muslim nations. And they're saying this little area, the West Bank, should belong to the Palestinians. And here we have a prophecy in our Bible 2,600 years ago. And God is not prophesying about the whole land of Israel, but the mountains of Israel very specifically. And he said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring Israel back to their land. And I'm going to multiply them. And these mountains that used to be barren are going to suddenly begin to blossom. And Israel is going to start building upon. Listen this carefully. Because every nation on the earth is against Israel building towns and cities on the mountains of Israel. I'm telling you, I'm showing you where God prophesies. It will happen. It must happen. It's going to happen in our generation. And you know what? It wasn't happening 50 years ago. It is happening, or should I say 70 years ago. It is happening today in our lifetime. And all the world is outraged at it. What I'm telling you is written here. And verse 11, and I will multiply on you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring forth fruit, and I will settle you on your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, and I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. Notice he says, I'm going to bring Israel back to these mountains. And those mountains are going to belong to them. It's going to become their land, their inheritance. Verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. What are they doing? They're speaking to Israel. Those enemies are going to begin to speak to Israel and say, you're destroying our nations. Do you hear me? The enemy is going to say to them, once they're back in the land, the enemy's saying, you're causing problem. You're causing strife. You're causing war. You're causing that our nations are devoured. You have destroyed our nations. Since I'm telling you, thousands of years ago, God is predicting everything that's happening in the news today. And he says in verse 14, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. And 21. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, the people of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned amongst the heathen, whither ye went. Then down to verse 34. And the desolate land should be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I'm giving you a remarkable prophecy here of the people that were scattered into every nation in the world. Now listen to me. Israel, the Jewish people, were scattered 1900 years ago into all nations of the world. Almost half of their entire history of 4,000 years, they have been scattered as a people into every nation. Yet they retained their culture, their language, their religion, their customs. They didn't interbreed with the other nations. And recent DNA testing has proved that the Jews kept themselves pure from the nations they were in, and now they have come back to their own nation. What am I telling you? The God of Israel is the God of the Bible, is the God who is going to restore and regather his church in these last days one last time. You know what God does with Israel, the nation of Israel, the physical nation? He is going to do in the real church, the real body of Christ. It was Paul who actually wrote in the New Testament, and he said, everything that's written about Israel and Jerusalem and the children of Israel, everything that's written about them, all the example of their life, all the warnings, all the prophecies, all of their sins, all of God's judgment, all of his blessing, it was written for you, the church. And notice this, he said, especially the church that lives in the last days, or who upon comes the very last days before Jesus returns. He said, all these things are written for you, that you might know that I am the God of the Bible, and that I am going to regather my church, and I'm going to bring forth the church out of the nation. Oh, the church might look dead in this hour. You know, the church of our generation, it's scattered in the nations, it's apostatized, its shepherds have been scattered. Scattered and smitten. Its shepherds have abused it. But I want to tell you, there's coming a real gathering of the real church once again. They're going to come back to where they ought to be. They're coming back to what the Bible teaches. They're coming back. And once they're in the land, all hell is going to come against them. But do you know what God is going to do? God is going to send them a mighty revival one last time. So that's why we study Jerusalem and Israel. Because what God does with Israel, he is about to do in the church. Amen. And when we look closely at Israel in the news at the moment, and the city of Jerusalem, I can assure you, you are looking at the future history of the body of Christ, the church, and all of the nations of the world. Let me just tell you a bit about this prophecy, because the same God who works in Israel is our God. Yes. It's the same Bible, the same prophecies. They belong to us. And when God is faithful to Israel, he's saying, I'll be faithful to you. And if I gather Israel, I'll regather the church. And if I revive Israel, I'll revive the church one last time. Saints, it's not over. And it's not over for the church. God is yet going to do some of his greatest works in our generation. I believe it with all my heart. I am holding a book that actually reveals remarkable prophecies that are about to be fulfilled in Israel. And also I hold a book that reveals prophecies, the most remarkable prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled in the church are just about to happen. Let's go and look at what happened to Israel. First of all, the nation got scattered. Before it can be regathered, it was scattered. You see, God warned Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy 28. He says, if you sin against me, if you turn from me, if you forsake my word, if you begin to move away from the written word of God, if you begin to bring statues and idols into your homes, and we ought not to have statues or idols, that's an abomination unto God. And he says you begin to act like the nations, and you begin to do and think like and act and speak like the nations around you. He said, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm actually going to scatter you amongst all nations. Moses gave the warning. He says, if you ever turn from the God of the Bible, I will scatter you. I will scatter you so far, every nation on the world is going to have a Jew within that nation. And I'm going to do it. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to just reject you. I am going to scatter you to punish you, to deal with your sin, and to bring you back to where I want you again. And that's what Moses prophesied. But listen to what Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 6. He actually not only prophesies that Israel will be regathered, he prophesies she shall be scattered. Listen to what he said in Ezekiel chapter 6. And this was 2,600 years ago. He says, your dwelling places, your houses, your cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall become desolate. Your altars will be laid waste and become desolate. Your idols will be broken and cease, and your images be cut down, and your works will be abolished. Do you realize the church in Ireland, at its beginning, when Patrick came to Ireland with the gospel, there was a revival in Ireland. Within one generation, Ireland turned from paganism, statues, the worship of trees and the sun, and was moved to worshiping the God of the Bible. Do you know, under Patrick and his preaching, and for 400 years, there were no statues. There were no prayers to Mary. There was no ritual. There was no confessional to a priest. There was no celibacy to the priesthood until about 1100 in Ireland, the year 1100. That's not that long ago. Do you know what? All of these things came into the church in Ireland. But in its first 400 years, the church in Ireland was called its golden era. And do you know what they've done? God sent a revival in Ireland, and they evangelized all of Europe. They went to Germany, and they went to Austria, and they went to Switzerland, and they went to France. I mean great men of God. I mean individuals. They went there and seen thousands come to the Lord. Everywhere they went, thousands got born again, just like in Ireland. But do you know what the Irish church done? It turned to idols, it joined itself to the city of Rome, and it brought all of this Catholicism in, and it removed itself from the Bible. And you know what God done? God says, I'll scatter you, you won't have any power left, you won't affect any other nation. That's what you'll do. Do you know the church in Ireland has been destroyed? There's no power, there's no holiness, there's no influence, there's no miracles, there's no revival, there's no knowledge of the Bible. You have people come out of confessional and they curse like troopers or go and sleep with some guy or girl. The church has been destroyed. But do you know what? If the church in Ireland ever turned back again, do you know what God will do? God will restore her. God will gather her again. And God will send a genuine revival. It's always happened. So Ezekiel prophesied to Israel. He says, God is going to scatter you. And listen, I will scatter you amongst all nations, and I will leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations. And when ye shall be scattered through the countries. Ezekiel's prophesying that Israel one day would be scattered to every nation on the earth. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 11. And it says, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of Israel. They're in all the nations. They're being punished for their sin. Why did God punish Israel and scatter them into every nation? Do you know, 2,000 years ago, God sent the Messiah to Israel. He sent the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. He actually so loved Israel that he sent the Messiah. And when we read the New Testament, we actually read that Christ prophesied many times about Israel. How that because they were rejecting him, Jerusalem was about to be destroyed. The temple was going to be utterly destroyed. Solomon's temple would be utterly torn down, every single stone. And Christ prophesied that within one generation, you mothers are going to wish you were not pregnant. This is what Christ began to preach in Jerusalem. Do you remember before they crucified him? And Pilate brought Christ out in front of the crowds, multitudes in Jerusalem, on the streets of Jerusalem. And Pilate brought him out and said, look, I can't find anything wrong with this man. This man is an innocent man. And you have an opportunity to let him go. He's the king of Israel, the king of the Jews. Do you remember what the Jews actually said? They said, we have no king but Caesar. And they said, crucify him. And said, let his blood be upon our hands. The Jews in Jerusalem, this is what they said. Let the blood of Jesus Christ be upon our hands and upon our children and our children's children. Let his blood be upon us. Let us carry the responsibility of his crucifixion. And we know the story how Christ was crucified on the cross when the apostle Paul came preaching. He said he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. He went to the Jews first. They rejected him. Paul writes in Romans that Israel as a nation is a branch that gets cut off. But blindness has happened to Israel for a whole period of time. They will not accept the Messiah for many generations. They're cut off, they've become blind, they've been rejected, and the gospel's going to go to the entire earth, going to go to every nation, but the Jews won't receive it. That's how Israel got rejected. And because they rejected Jesus, the Messiah, his blood, his forgiveness, in AD 70, one generation after Christ, the Roman army came up, destroyed Jerusalem, killed 1 million Jews, destroyed the nation, and took 100,000 Jews into slavery. It was a few years later under Hadrian. Hadrian actually finally destroyed the nation. He destroyed 1,000 villages that were Jewish. Listen to me. This is the fulfilling of the Bible. 1,000 villages and towns in Israel. Hadrian come up and he destroyed those villages. He put all of the Jews out of the city of Jerusalem and said no Jew is allowed to live in Jerusalem. Not one. He changed the name of Israel to Palestine. And he actually moved Arabs into the land to settle in Jerusalem and the mountains of Israel. That's what he done. And the Jews were scattered into all the world. Now for 1900 years, the Jew was scattered, hated of every nation. They couldn't settle in any nation. And 100 years ago, listen to me, 100 years ago, the Jew actually scattered in Europe and in Ireland. If you would have asked them, can Israel become a nation again? All the Jews that were scattered in every nation, if you would have asked them, they would have said it is impossible. The Jews would have said this 100 years ago. Most of the Jews across the world saying it cannot happen, it will not happen. They thought this was a madman's dream. Yet Mr. Guinness, who preached on these streets, do you know what he done? He bought a plot of land in Israel. Do you know why? Over 100 years ago, he said, Israel is going back to their nation. And he bought a plot of land. He said, this land is bought and I'm going to make sure it gets given to a Jew who goes back to Israel again. Because the Bible is going to be fulfilled accurately and exactly. I have read accounts of what men who went to Israel 100 years ago, what they said it was like. They said it was treeless. There's no trees. This men who walked in Israel 100 years ago, they said it's treeless, it's barren, it's waste, it's desolate, it's abandoned, it's unoccupied, it's thinly populated, it has been destroyed, the ground is unplowed. Nobody would want to live there 100 years ago. But saints, God not only scattered Israel. And you know what? We need to be careful as a church, because if we walk with God, God is going to bless this church. But if we don't walk with Him and we follow the way other churches have gone, God will scatter this church like He has done many other churches. But saints, if we unite ourselves and come under the blessing of God, God will send us a revival, a genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But God not only scattered the nation, listen to what He said through Ezekiel. He says, I will gather you from all nations and restore you to the land. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all prophesied that Israel would be gathered from all nations. This has only happened once in their entire history of 4,000 years. Do you hear me? They did get carried into captivity. Remember in Egypt, didn't they? And in Babylon. And in Assyria. But not at the same time. They were always carried prisoner into one nation and were always together. Never in 4,000 years had they been scattered amongst all nations. Never. And saints, only once in the entire history of the Bible and world history has Israel been restored to their nation. Only once in their entire nation. From every nation. And do you know when that was? 1948. When Israel was birthed as a nation. My Bible has prophecies thousands of years ago, saying it would happen before Jesus returns. That Israel would have to be restored to their nation. After 1900 years, the nation can't come back alive again. If you read the history of Israel, we read that some 100 years ago, Jews started to go back to the land who believed this. Most of them died. They started to purchase the land. They drained swamps. They began to plant little trees, the first in those areas. You know why? Because before this, Turkey owned the land. And Turkey had a tree tax up until 1917. And if there was a tree grown in your land, you'd have to pay a tax for every tree. So anyone in the land, you know what they done? They cut down all their trees because they didn't want a big tax. If you like trees, you're going to pay for it abundantly. You're going to pay a lot of money. And isn't that what Ezekiel prophesied? The land's going to be desolate, bare, barren, nothing growing there. But you know what? When the Jews started coming back, many of them died of malaria. The land was filled with swamps. They were dying by droves. The first Jews that come back in the 1920s through to the 1940s, the Muslims hated them, attacked them, tried to kill them. But listen to what it says in Isaiah 11:11. The Lord says, I will recover my people. Where from? Oh, He gives the nations. Listen, He says, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hama, and the islands of the sea. You say, well, what's all that mean? Let me give you the nations. From Egypt, from Iraq, from Iran, from Syria. So what's He saying? First of all, when I begin to regather them, I'm going to gather them from all the Arab nations around them. I'm going to begin doing that. Do you realize that happened in 1948 when they all come back to their nation? The greatest miracle that ever happened. Do you realize they began to get gathered from this nation? Egypt kicked the Jews out of their nation. Hundreds of thousands of them. Iraq began to persecute the Jews in their country after 1948. And drove 130,000 of them out. Morocco drove 300,000 out. The Muslim nations actually drove 1 million Jews out of their country after 1948. This is what Isaiah actually prophesied. He said, listen, I'm actually going to restore Israel again to their land. And I'm going to begin with the Arab nations. And he names them. They actually sent 1 million Jews back to Israel after the nation was birthed. But it goes further, he says, and the islands of the sea. That means to the ends of the earth. And he says in the next verse, I will begin to gather them from the four corners of the earth. So it's going to begin with the Arab nations. And then he said, I'm going to gather them from the entire earth. Did this actually happen? Yes, it actually happened. Do you realize from 1948, God began to gather them from all nations? Yemen, some of you don't even know where it's on the map. The Yemen Republic is a Muslim nation. In 1949 and 1950, 50,000 Jews were airlifted. They'd never seen a plane. They knew nothing about modern technology. They'd rarely seen buses or cars. And these Jews suddenly got a desire to go back to Israel. And they were airlifted. And yet Yemen had been a stronghold for more than 2,000 years of Jews. They've been there for over 2,000 years. Hundreds of thousands. And do you know what? Most of them have come back to Israel. Do you realize last year, 19 of the last Jews in Yemen got secretly flown back to Israel last year. And they say there's only a handful actually still in that land. Afghanistan only has one Jew. And yet, up until 100 years ago, it had hundreds of thousands. Now it only has one Jew. Or what about Ethiopia? In 1991, 15,000 Jews from Ethiopia returned to Israel to make it their homeland. It was called Operation Solomon. Israel today is the most multicultural country in the world. 120 different languages are spoken in the land of Israel. It's utterly unique. But there are still Jews living in 100 countries of the world. 50% of all Jews are back in the land. Do you know how many were there 100 years ago? Less than 1%. Far less than 1%. Something has really began to happen in the nations of the world that is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. God is actually beginning to move and he's going to bring his people back. In the year 1900, there were 40,000 Jews in Israel, but far less than 1% of them. By 1945, there was 600,000. Now there's 6.5 million. And that's half the Germans that's in, or sorry, half the Jews that are in the entire world. But now something is going to happen. Notice another part of this prophecy. Not only are they gathered from those local Arab nations, not only are they gathered in from every nation in the world. You see, this prophecy isn't fulfilled yet. It's being fulfilled. Half of it's being fulfilled. But half of the Jewish population is still out there in other nations. Listen to another part of this. It says in Jeremiah chapter 16 verse 14, therefore behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that what Israel's famous for? Remember the famous movie, The Ten Commandments, where Moses leads the people out of Egypt? 2 million of them. And Moses, only with a wooden rod and his dusty garments on, says, let my people go. And he brought 10 plagues that shook and destroyed Egypt as a nation. Egypt never recovered from that. Do you know what it says in the Bible? It prophesies what God will do. God said, I will destroy Egypt in order to rescue my son, Israel. That's what I will actually do. Now listen to what he says. He says, it's always been said, Israel is known as the people who come up out of Egypt. They've always been known as that. Those who live in the land of Israel, this is the nation that come from Egypt. But listen to what it says in Jeremiah 16. That won't be said anymore. When Israel is gathered from the nations, no longer will we say they come up from Egypt. So what are they going to say? Listen, verse 15. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all lands whither he had driven them. I will bring them again to their land and I will give unto them the land their fathers had. Now listen this. On the time when God gathers the Jews, all of Israel, out of all nations in the world, and brings them back to their own land, to their own nation, to their own mountains, at that time, one of the most major places they come from is the land of the north. Do you realize there's many prophecies? Ezekiel prophesies this about they will come from the land of the north. Isaiah, Jeremiah, many other prophecies says in the last days when Israel comes back to their land, they're going to be known as this people who have come from the land of the north, not from Ireland or England or America, but from the land of the north. What is the land of the north? Russia. In the Bible, the land of the north is actually Russia. And God is prophesying 2,600 years ago that in the last days when Israel comes back to their land from all nations, they're going to be known as the people who came out of the Northland or out of Russia. Now I could prove this to you, but we won't take the time on it. Can I ask you, is Israel today, is it known as the land that came out of Russia? Is it? Do you realize until 1990, the largest population of Jews in the entire world outside of Israel, what country was it in? Russia. The biggest population of Jews in the entire world, far bigger than America. Do you know that the majority of the Jewish immigrants who have come back to Israel over the past 100 years, in its early years, in 1948, and again since 1990, do you know where they came from? Russia. Now listen to these facts for a moment. Since 1990, 1.5 million Jews left Russia for Israel. Do you know there's towns and cities in Israel, 50% of the population speak Russian. 50%. Russian is actually spoken by 20% of the population of Israel today. In their streets, 20%. 20% of them were born in Russia, who now are Israeli citizens. This is a Bible prophecy fulfilled from 2,600 years ago. Since this is important, it's a modern day miracle. And the reason it happens, and God has given so many details, is you're going to know that the God who does this is the God of the Bible. And I am the God who's going to move in my church one more time. Between 1989, remember Gorbachev, and the fall of the Soviet Union, the Jews couldn't leave Russia. They weren't allowed. They're forbidden. But in 1989, Gorbachev came to power and he released them. That same year, the communism fell. And the Berlin Wall came down. 71,000 Jews immediately left for Israel. Immediately. As soon as they could get a release and permission to go. Saints, today Israel is known as a nation born or brought out of Russia, not as having come out of Egypt. It's known as a nation. One out of five people were born in Russia who walk the streets of Israel as citizens today. This is a witness to us. You know what God is trying to say? When I sent my son to die on the cross, I want you to know that everything I say is true. My blood was shed for you. You must be born again. There is a real heaven and there's a real hell. Eternity is real. I'm a God of miracles. I'm a God of prophecy. And you know what? I know every one of your hearts. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I know the days that you're going to have left. I know every breath that you take. I know everything about you, every thought, every imagination. And I knew the thoughts of your parents before you were conceived. I know it all. That's why he's shown us this. You see, Israel was regathered and it fulfilled all these Bible prophecies. Do you know what else Ezekiel and all them say? The land will become fruitful. Their language will be restored. Do you know a Jew today in Israel? Most of them speak Hebrew. That's the national language. Most of them couldn't speak it perfectly in their own homeland. But to come into the land of Israel, you've got to learn Hebrew. It was a dead language. Do you know all the Jews spoke variations of Hebrew, but they created a pure language again. As the Bible predicted, Isaiah says, I'll restore unto you a pure tongue. That's what he said. Amen. He says, many prophets said the land of Israel will blossom. Do you realize how rich Israel is today? The whole land is blossoming, producing fruit that come to Europe. It is remarkable how successful, how prosperous, how wealthy the little land of Israel. Do you remember what I just told you a few moments ago about Israel 100 years ago? It was treeless, it's barren, you can hardly find a place it's inhabited, it's a dead nation. But now you've got one of the most prosperous nations in the entire world. But saints, 50% of Israel are still in other nations. 50% of them. If you look up the facts, there's about 6 million in America still Jews. There's a few million in Europe, mostly in France. But it's getting hot for the Jew in France, very hot. Something is going to happen to bring the rest of the Jews back to their homeland. Hey, most of the prophecies being fulfilled. And listen to me, the Jews are going to leave France. And they're going to leave America. Sure, America loves them today, doesn't it? It didn't a year ago or 2 years ago. America turned against them for 10 years. But you know what? Something's going to happen in America where the rest of the Jews are going to have to leave. All of them are going to have to leave and return. There's 2 million Jews still in Russia, over 6 million in America, and 1 million in Europe. They're still to go back to their homeland. What is just about to happen? Isn't the Bible exact? Recovering them from every nation in the world, especially from Russia and from all the Muslim nations around them. It has been fulfilled exact, but there's going to be one last recovery where all the people are coming back to the little land. And remember, it's a third of the size of Ireland where they're all gathering. And you know, there's areas in the mountain of Israel, you could put 1 million people and you wouldn't notice it. That's a fact. And you know, now they're building towns and the UN's going crazy at them. And Russia and China and all the Muslim leagues. And they're saying, you need to stop building. But what did we just read in Ezekiel chapter 37? It says, on the mountains of Israel, you'll build cities and you'll rest securely in those places. Saints, I'm telling you, the God of the Bible. This is why we're studying Jerusalem, Israel, and Bible prophecy on about end days. It's not that they're righteous. Israel isn't. Do you see how they're starting to gather? Most of the Russians who gathered back to Israel, they're skeptics. They're evolutionists. Many of them are atheists. There's many have brought in New Ageism. Israel is filled with the New Age and all manners of beliefs and every strange idea. But you know what? It was prophesied. I'm going to bring them back when they're in sin and they have idols and they're not faithful to me. You know why? God's about to do the greatest miracle, send one of the greatest revivals in world history to the little nation of Israel. Saints, two great prophetic things are still to be fulfilled. And listen to me as I close here. Two things. Ezekiel's warn. We're going to deal with this next week. Where did I read from that Israel's getting restored to the land? Ezekiel 37. What happens in Ezekiel 39, two chapters later? Ezekiel's war. And it says Russia and Iran and Turkey are going to join together with other Middle Eastern nations. They're all named exactly. And they're going to invade the nation of Israel. Since it's never happened. And what Ezekiel says is they've got to be back in their land. And the land's got to be prosperous. And they have to fill the mountains of Israel. Then Ezekiel's war is going to come. And Russia is going to invade Israel. It's going to happen. And do you know what happens after that? There's one last ingathering of all the Jews in the world. And there's a spiritual revival. Remember what I said, why God gives us Israel, why? To show us what's about to happen in the church. The greatest miracle happened during our generation, that worldwide Jews are gathering back to their nation, as was prophesied 2,600 years ago. Do you know why God's putting them back in the land? Because he's about to send them a revival, and he's about to reveal who Jesus is to them, and they're going to see who their Messiah is. The Messiah they rejected 2,000 years ago, they're going to receive him. And saints, the Bible says in Romans 11, when Israel comes back in, it's going to be like a resurrection from the dead for the church and the Gentile nations. When revival begins in Israel, there is going to be something unprecedented happen in the world. It's going to be remarkable. But before that revival, do you know what's going to happen? It's going to be the greatest attack against Israel by the largest army, the best armed army, the most impossible war they've ever fought in their entire history is about to face them. Can I tell you, in the church and in this church, we in this hour are facing and about to face our greatest war, the greatest attack of the devil, the greatest onslaught of discouragement, of lies, of immorality, of confusion, of deception. But since you better hold fast, you know why? Because after that great onslaught is coming the greatest revival and the greatest ingathering of souls, the greatest revival in all of world history, and the greatest harvest of souls, of men and women getting born again, that's ever been written about in 2,000 years. We are watching a modern miracle. And I believe God is speaking to his church, saying, if you see what's happened in Israel, you better get ready. It's a dark day. You've been scattered. You seem like you could never be recovered, restored to your former glory. You'll never have the glory of the Welsh revival, or the Pentecostal revival, or the Methodist revival. All these great revivals that changed nations, and 100,000 got saved in 6 months. It can't happen in your day. That's what the devil would say. I want to tell you, we are about to see our greatest revival. And Israel is a physical witness that all hell can't stop the church. He's going to build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. And we've got a multitude of souls out there that we're to bring to Jesus Christ. One last time. Let's just stand and pray with me. Here tonight. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, Lord God. Father, I know that you're the God of the Bible, the God of prophecy. Everything that you predicted, you prophesied in the Bible comes accurately, precisely, without fault, without mistake, without failure. It comes to pass. And Father, we have watched a modern miracle in Israel, that you've gathered that people, that chosen race, out of every single nation in the world, and they've returned to the mountains of Israel. They've returned to their ancient nation, nor God, no Arab army can destroy them, nor God, no power of the UN can confound them. Lord God, you've made them a cup of trembling to all the nations that surround them, to all the nations of the world. Lord God, the nations are raging and grinding their teeth, and Lord God, yet you've created a modern miracle that you placed in this Bible 2,600 years ago. My God, this God is my God, the God of Israel, is the God of the church. And Lord God, everything that you said about this church, Lord God, I don't care how impossible it seems, Lord God, the greatest days of your church are ahead. Lord God, we're about to see the greatest revival, the greatest missionary movement, Lord God, the greatest prophecies fulfilled. We're about to see the most gifted of ministries raised up. My God, we believe that you're yet to pour out, Lord God, and bring multitudes of sinners to you. Lord God, we believe David, for this city of Limerick. You have us here to see this. We're small, we're a remnant, we're attacked on every side, we're lied against, we're buffeted, O God, we've come through much, yet it's a miracle of your grace that we're here. And my God, we're looking that you gather a harvest of souls out of Limerick, from the drug dens, from the Catholic Church. Will you save the Catholic priests? Will you save the drug dealers? Will you save the prostitutes, O God? Will you save the atheist and the Muslim and the Hindu and the Buddhist? Will you save the Mormons and the JWs? My God, we are asking you for a revival that cannot even enter into our mind, nor, God, that it would be remarkable, nor, God, like Abraham and Sarah, nor, God, as Abraham laughed at you when you told him what you were going to do, as Sarah laughed at your angel messengers when they said what you were going to do, nor, God, making their seed more than the stars of heaven, than the sand on the seashore. My God, as they laughed, oh God, in their unbelief, my God, I pray that you'd shock us, you'd astound us, that you do more than has entered into our minds or hearts. Father, we do pray according to these words that have come to us. Do miracles on the streets of Limerick. My God, I pray for that gift of faith. Nor, God, I pray for that word of knowledge. Nor, God, I pray for the 9 gifts of your Spirit. Nor, God, let them come with power to this church again. One more time, revive your church, restore her, rebuild her, recover. Nor, God, let your glory come to your church again. We love you, we bless you. Lord.